Okay, you want to talk to a cryptozoologist? You're next on Coast to Coast AM. John, anything new in the chase for the chupacabra?
No, they're just about as elusive as all the rest of the bipedal reptilian humanoids.
Yeah. Why? Okay, here it is. Why is it we can't find the chupacabra, the Bigfoot, the lizard man? They just always seem elusive. Why?
Well, there's a lot of areas out there in which many humans haven't yet tread. Most of these creatures aren't being seen on city blocks like New York City, where perhaps, you know, somebody taking out the trash could see it. It's usually around swamp areas, highland areas, mountains, woods, swamps, of course. And there's a lot of areas in out there that we just haven't got access to where they might find part of their natural domain. In addition to that, we might be looking at something that is living in caves underground where there's only just small openings to get into that are well hidden. We might be looking at something that may be moving back and forth through another vibrational state, a plasma state of reality, something which is real to them just as this is real to us. But somehow maybe they're finding a way to move back and forth through these dimensional barriers.
Okay, let's go to the phones. You ready, John Rhodes?
Absolutely. Let's bring it on.
We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. John, you're on the air with us. Hello, John.
Hello, George. Hello, John.
This is John.
Hi, John.
This is John from Long Island, New York, if memory serves me.
That's me.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, I just have two quick questions. With the when it comes to the cows or the alien abductions, why don't the farmers ever catch this on film? You know, it's not like they're poor people, they're multimillionaires. Why not just set up some cameras and actually catch this laser if it really does happen, picking up the cow and then dropping it from a great distance and catch this?
Well, I think one of the main reasons is because you're talking in an area in which people are industrious, hard-working individuals that usually get up at early in the morning, sip on some coffee and go out there, and they don't load up with cameras all the time because they're just going straight to work, which is very messy and hard work. And in the evenings when they get done, these people collapse into their armchairs, absolutely tired from all the hard work that they've been doing. This nation was built on industrial people like this, people that are hardworking individuals, and they don't have time like most of us citified folk that can be able to say, I'm taking the evening off and go out and sit on a rock out here with a camera.
Okay, my second question was, if it was, which I believe is definitely something out there, there's no doubt about it, we just can't prove it. But if it was actually proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, what would that do to religion on this planet? All the pastors and priests believe it's just us. Wouldn't that turn the world literally upside down?
Well, I believe that religion would adjust as best as they could in order to not to lose their flocks. And of course, their flocks mean their economic base. There's going to have to be a time when there's adjustments needing to be made. The Catholic Church, the Vatican built an observatory out in Arizona in order to look for extraterrestrial life so they can convert it to Catholicism. And they openly stated this. Now, they retract that later on, but that was their intention. So even the Catholic Church is deciding that, you know, why fight the issue? Because maybe we can convert them as well. There are other religions, and I put religions, you know, in the same ballpark as large corporate heads, because a lot of them are driven by economic concerns rather than spiritual concerns. But as long as they can adjust to it, I think that we'd be fine. You remember, most of these religions do address the reptilian humanoid subject very, very well. And most of the Judaic texts especially, and the Hindu texts do as well. So these guys will just have to dig back into their archives and pull out more and more information to look deeper into the nature of the subject in order to survive.
Okay, very good. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi. Hey. So this is only the second time I've called, so I'm very shocked that I cut through, but it's very synchronistic because this hollow earth thing is really, I've had dreams and visions since I was very young of a lot of different things that I couldn't talk to people about, and now it's all coming true. So I had a meditation where I knew it was the end times, and I was like on one side of this valley, and I looked across to this other mountain in the distance, and there was a shaft of sunlight that showed exactly where I was supposed to go on this other mountain. And I don't remember how I got through the valley. I don't remember the journey. But when I was on that other mountain, on my left side, there was a rock face along with vines covering it. Like you're on a jungle path, and there's like the rock with the vines covering it. And somehow I knew when to stop. I stopped at this one place. My right hand was the key. And I put my hand on this specific place on this rock face, and I'm teletransported into the rock, into the mountain. These beings of light and energy are there, and they're just real benevolent, and they're like, they're saying welcome and you're safe, and they then bring me this nourishment. It's this, I just thought like it was energy food. It was sustenance for me, and like they're taking care of me. And there were giant crystals that shone like sunlight, so the whole cave like area wasn't really like a cave. It was just like filled with light. Now, I also had recurrent dreams where I would go to this, it was like a cave like opening, but it was a giant opening, and I go in, and there are lakes down there. There was a lake. I actually kept going.
How big was the lake?
A big, not like Great Lakes, but big enough to where I could see the other side, but I was pretty much staying on this one side, and it was like there was light down there too. And so I'm actually moving to Peru in reality, in this reality that I'm in now.
Okay, how about a question, because we got to move on.
Okay.
Got one?
Yeah, my question is, has anybody else met any of these light beings? I know I studied.
Okay, has anybody met the light beings, John Rhodes?
Yes, there are actually reports of beings in India and up in Tibet that were seen coming from inside mountains that seemed to have their bodies glowed with a blue light. There's a theory that the further down into the earth you go, because of centrifuge, the heavier atoms actually start spinning off at a slow rate, to where when you get very deep underground, you're actually starting to lose mass, and possibly to the point of where when you get deep enough into the earth, which is where some of these civilizations may have retreated during times of ancient disasters on the surface, that they actually started becoming more and more plasma beings than they were physical beings. So the whole idea of somewhere underground being habitable by good and evil beings is, I believe, more of a reality than we can possibly imagine even at this time.
Okay, very good. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello there.
Hi, George.
Hi, John.
How y'all doing?
Oh, God, we were fine.
My name is Erica. I've talked to you, George, before from St. Augustine.
Yes, sure.
And how you doing?
Good.
Anyway, I was going to call because on that when you were discussing about the MRSA,
right?
Down here in Jacksonville, I'm actually a victim of Staph aureus. It's not actually MRSA,
right?
That I know of, but there has been a major breakout, and I'm going to do some research and find out just how many in the hospital surrounding area that the cases that they've had. Would I call the Centers for Disease Control to find that out?
Yeah, you could. I don't know how willing they are to give up information like that, because their hands are full in these situations.
I just think it's odd that, I was a perfectly healthy person, and all of a sudden I got it. And, a lot of people that I know had it. Even my grandchild had it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's, they've already put it out in the air. I don't know if there's a lot of pig farms around here.
It is in the area
where I'm staying at right now.
Over in Europe, they found MRSA actually colonized in meat on the store shelf.
So right, that's what I'm saying.
So when you handle meat, you have to be very, very
careful. I caught it, cooking it or doing
it
something.
It could be. They say that you're supposed to wash your utilities often. Don't share your cutting boards. Wash your hands a lot. You just have to be very cognitive of how you're handling meat. Personally, I haven't eaten meat in over 25 years. And, Even Oprah Winfrey has issues with meat. I've seen interviews with panels of people that worked in the inspection services of meat slaughtering houses and meat packing companies. And out of all of the band, I think it was on 2020, out of all of the 12 inspectors that were there, I think there was only one of them out of the 12 that even ate meat anymore. There's so many other things to eat that I would think to reduce the chances of such a thing, you have to be careful of what you take in. Now, I'm not going to be here, sitting here telling everybody, do not eat meat, because some people, their nutrition comes from meat. They can't seem to get any energy or sustenance without it. So I would just say be careful and be very wary of where the meat's been and how you're handling it.
Okay, great. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I have a question. I was wondering if you had any other sightings, like in Oklahoma, possibly Stroud.
For what? UFOs or what?
The lizard.
The lizard man. Lizard man and the.
In Oklahoma, in particular, I haven't heard of anything, but in that area of where those states are concentrated, most of that area down in there, like now near Kentucky and areas, they have large karst formations. Karst is a form of a rock that actually you find a lot of caves in. Back east, there's a lot of caves that have been explored. There's many more that have never been discovered whatsoever. So I would have to say when you hear of reports of contacts or UFOs, especially if they seem to be persistent, get out a gravity anomaly map, which you can find at a government repository library in the government documents section. It's called a gravity anomaly map, Bouguer gravity anomaly map. These are like maps that are taken with magnetic gravity measurements. What they do is they look like a map, but it's like an inverse map to where when you see concentric line circles get closer and closer together, they're telling you there's a higher possibility of a cave or cavern being in there. And if you use that as a cross-reference with UFO reports, I think people are going to be astounded as to what they start to discover.
Did you ever look into Admiral Byrd's work and whether he indeed flew into the center of the planet, the hollow part of the planet?
I did. The Admiral Byrd diary that's out there is a forgery. They even have
right.
his name incorrect. But I believe that he did, when he said he found the land beyond the poles, it was such a anomalous statement to make because, you know, when you go beyond the poles, you actually start reaching the other side of the continent. So that's not a land beyond the pole. When they say that if there was a large opening in the Earth that was about 800 miles in diameter, because gravity is an attraction of mass, that if there was a gradual slope down into it, like the opening of a donut, that you would actually start moving forward. And what you'd see is it looked like you were going downhill into a slope, but the land on the other side would start getting look like it's going up into the air higher and higher. Now, he did make the comment about that fantastic, I think it was, and quoting him here, but talking about the wondrous or fantastic continent in the sky. And I think that may have been an observation of something happening to where you're actually not feeling it at all because it's so gradual and so large, but the distance is actually starting to wrap around you.
All right, back to the calls, west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. How are you, George? How are you, John?
Dan, the man.
This is Dan, the man, best karaoke singer in the universe.
And you're going to call me tomorrow night and prove that, right?
Except I got excited when you was mentioning cattle mutilations. I got some information for you.
What do you got, Daniel?
Oh, excellent.
According to John Kennedy's man, Dr. Beter, there's always been an intelligence war of doubles through the centuries. Before they got the artificial life technology, they had to use human doubles to replace the leaders being replaced. And Jimmy Carter was the first leader replaced with an artificial life form. The Russians, he had terminal brain cancer from a radioactive leak accident when he was in the Navy when he was young. And he did not die of that in office. They assassinated him by bullet. And the Russians replaced him with an organic robotoid.
Who, Carter?
Yes, Carter was replaced by an organic robotoid.
He's still running around here.
Let me explain.
All right. in a minute.
Have a technique using a laser beam hologram to reproduce Carter's memory in the double. Anyway, the CIA found out about the robotoid replacement for Carter. They replaced him with a synthetic automaton, which is inferior to a robotoid, made from mutilated cattle parts. That's why all the cattle mutilations were going on in the country during the Carter presidency. I don't know about nowadays, because, you know, Dr. Beter is dead now. And there you have it.
All right, John, I want your take on this, Mr. Rhodes. You got mine.
Well, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say.
Now, that's it. You know what? I've heard them all. I've never heard this one.
I know that there has been talk over the years, especially talk coming from the situation or the stories about the Dulce base in New Mexico, where they were actually able to replicate a humanoid in a ferrite magnetic shielded room, in which actually, like a transporter, was able to build atoms on atoms and reproduce individuals that they said could only last a short period of time. I did hear that a number of years ago. However, I didn't hear it was Jimmy Carter.
No. That's a first for me.
Yeah.
It really is. So the website, reptoids.com, reptoids.com. That's your main website?
That is my main website. And everybody's welcome to take a visit in Gander at it. Actually, I think so many visitors went on just about half an hour to an hour ago. It slammed the
We did it again, didn't we?
Yeah, you did it again. I'll be hearing from the company tomorrow. They'll probably be asking for more money.
Yeah, they probably will. They said, can't handle the load.
Here. Yeah, can't handle the load. But the information is up on there. There's a lot of graphics, and I try and keep it as fresh as possible. I also have another site that I'm getting ready to build up called the Crypto Hunter's Guide.
I like that.
In the CryptoHunter'sGuide.com, there will be, it won't be specifically reptoids. It'll branch off into all different kinds of areas. You know, my cryptozoological work really did seem to go beyond the boundaries and the scope of my original studies and branch out into so many different areas. And that's why once during a call on a radio station, somebody told me I was pretty much looking to everything now, and I made the comment that I was kind of like looking into all secrets like a crypto hunter, and it just kind of stuck with me ever since.
Our guest is John Rhodes, and we'll be back with final questions from you for him on Coast to Coast AM. Yep, some areas of the country still getting blasted by wintry days. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, it'll be our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. I always look forward to that. Friday nights on Coast to Coast AM. Did you ever investigate Mothman at all, John?
No, actually, I didn't. I heard the reports, and I deeply respect John Keel's work in the area. I do know that it seems that when there's a lot of psychic disturbances, things like this do occur. The Mothman has always seemed to me to perhaps be something of a winged Draco humanoid that when seen from below and looking down, its red reflective eyes may, just like the red eyes of the reptoid or the lizard man running towards Christopher Davis across that field, maybe because when it was crooking its neck and looking down, it gave the appearance that the eyes were closer towards its chest or in its chest rather than up above. The wings, like we've talked about before, may be the same thing as a draped cloak that some of the beings have been seen to wear, where they're just wings that are wrapped around in their back and draped downwards. Psychic conditions and highly emotional states do seem to ignite contact with reptoids. They seem to be attracted to highly emotional states, and especially with people who are imbibed with DMT or other hallucinogenic substances. Perhaps those individuals are actually cueing into a part of their brain that's not usually active. And there seems to be a great deal of curiosity to where reptoids are approaching from other dimensions, or actually in our own dimension, coming down here and taking a peek and seeing whose brain is that's working on a frequency that's not normal.
Okay, to the phones we go. Let's go to our wild card line. John, you're on the air with us. Hi, John.
Hi, John. Hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, John.
I had I had a question and comment and a suggestion question, if you don't mind.
All right,
I'll try to be brief.
Go ahead. Thank you.
When the sightings of cattle mutilation goes up, does the sightings of black helicopters go up? They were tied together years ago in discussions. And you did a paranormal show here about a week or so ago. Have you ever thought of doing a paranormal show from the Sarah Winchester house?
I never thought about it.
It's a strange place.
Never thought about it. Okay.
There is a correlation to black helicopter activity and cattle mutilation. Not all the time. During the 1970s, the black helicopters were seen more. Now it seems like that the black helicopters are not seen as much as we're seeing anomalous lights that are flying around and doing things that normal aircraft should not normally be doing. As a pilot myself, I know when you're looking into the sky about, you know, what is normal flight behavior with an object up there. And the farmers up and ranchers are actually reporting things and saying and recalling actions that they've seen the lights perform in the sky that are completely anomalous to any known flight characteristics.
Right. Go down to Hatchepi about dawn, see what goes on.
Oh, yeah. To Hatchepi is an interesting place. Bill Hamilton researches that. He's another friend of mine, and he's come up with a lot of great research in regards to that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Hey, thank you.
First-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. All right, my question is about the polarity shift in global warming. And, okay, so I keep hearing that 2007 to 2012 is like the Enlightenment period, Enlightenment age. I keep hearing that, and there's all kinds of stuff on YouTube about it, and it's kind of like an unraveling of the truth, especially due to Pluto being in orbit. And I was wondering if maybe, like, the global warming is happening so much more intense now, and it's a part of the polarity shift. Others saying the poles are going to switch, you know, in 2012. It's highly rumored, and maybe global warming is just the process of that in action, and that's how it's going to shift, or are the poles just going to shift in 2012, and everybody's going to be like, whoa, or, you know, the rapture.
Well, now that's an interesting take.
Wow. I do tend to lean in the direction of Velikovsky's work, where they talk about another large planetary body coming through our orbit and tugging on the Earth gravitationally. The gravity tug may actually accelerate the Earth and the Moon around its orbit around the Sun. In addition to that, actually create great geological upheavals. The Earth is due for a polar shift. In addition to that, when you look back in history and recognize that an axis of the planet may have occurred when the woolly mammoths were suddenly flash frozen up in the Arctic regions, that it could possibly happen again. The rapture in this regards to what you call it, when you're talking about a situation in which a lot of people die, that's pretty much the end of the world for them. I think there will be a lot of survivors in what happens afterwards. A lot of people won't want to survive, and others will. There will be a lot of children left behind without parents that certainly need guidance. The Earth will never end, I don't believe, unless somebody takes, you know, the raw bomb or the solar bomb out and starts to try and ignite our own sun in order to destroy our solar system. A very frightening but real possibility in the future, given the extraterrestrial or other dimensional races that may come into conflict with us. I do believe that there are signs all around our planet that these huge changes take place. A book was written a number of years ago called When the Earth Almost Died that detailed how large valleys were carved out of the ground by some sort of an impact. And they found shark bones embedded deep back into caves, and some of these shark bones were embedded so deep into the rock that they said only a force of about 600 miles an hour could have done it.
Yeah, and also they found sea fossils on the top of mountains.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we
talked about that a few weeks
ago. Right, and there are other areas out in, like, in South America that are high up the lake up there that was once at sea level is now jutted several thousand feet up into the air. But, you know, these kind of convulsions happen very rapidly. we're lulled into this feeling of safety and security by not looking back at the timelines to see that really the Earth upheaves quite more often than we would want to think. That's why the only place to go is underground. And I hate to say that, but our military-industrial complex and our government knows the secret of security. They just don't want us to realize that same secret and start seeking underground caves for ourselves in case something should happen.
Let's go to our wild card line. Bob, you're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi, George.
Thanks for holding so long, Bob.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. A while back, maybe even as long as 2 years ago, you had a program on the supernatural, and I told a story about my mother seeing some vapory figures in her willow tree when my father had a heart attack, and it was kind of an omen that he wouldn't survive, which he didn't. So I was visiting friends in that same neighborhood in Fresno last year, and we were telling stories like this late at night, and they have a 14-year-old daughter, and she said, what the father said, tell Bob what you saw by the pool. Now, this house is a large property. It's more than 2 acres. And the girl was sitting in the library, and she looked out of the window, and the swimming pool is about, a quarter of an acre away off of a terrace. And she said, by the moonlight, she saw a figure. And so she thought, who's in the garden? And she looked out of the window, and she said it looked like a dinosaur. And she didn't know whether it was drinking from the pool, and she really couldn't believe her eyes. She wasn't sleeping. But this neighborhood, although it's very wooded and woodsy kind of neighborhood, is right in the middle of town. And so I just wonder, what's with that neighborhood? My mother seeing, you know, kind of ghostly figures, and this young lady seeing a cobra man, whatever, you know, reptile man.
Right. That's fantastic that you should say that. I have a close associate, research associate of mine by the name of Pal, that lives in the area of Mariposa, up in Mariposa, just north of Fresno up there, tucked at the gateway of the Yosemite National Park.
Yeah.
In Briceburg, they've seen reptilian humanoids alongside the Merced River up there. The area has a lot of caves, and the indigenous Indians in that area say that there's large tunnel systems that extend for miles and miles around there. So, and we do have the whole area above Mariposa is actually connected to the black ops factories that do silicone work with electronics that are taken off the valley floor down there, because they figure that in case the valley floor where all the Silicon Valley is situated ever gets carpet bombed or has some sort of catastrophic disaster, there's secondary facilities up in those mountains. So there's a lot of triangular ships and this craft that are also seen up in the area of Mariposa as well. So, yeah, it's synchronicity that you should call and provide this report to us, and I really do appreciate it, because it just lends more credibility to that's another portal area up in there, one that's been overlooked but yet has yet to reach the status of fame in the UFO community that it rightfully deserves.
Okay, let's go to the international line. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, George, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you so much.
This is not really a question directed at, well, I guess I do have two things that I wanted to bring up. The first one, Mel's Hole. So long ago was such a big part of this program. I remember a while back when Art was still running things that there was a lady from Canada that called and indicated that she had holes similar to Mel's Hole on her property.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually invited Art to come up and see it. And I wondered if he had ever taken that trip or if there was any more.
To the best of my knowledge, I don't think he went there.
Okay. Does your guest know anything about holes similar to Mel's Hole? And then the second question that I had was about the Hollow Earth theory. You had a guy on a while back that was taking an expedition.
That was Brooks Brooks Agnew, who has not left yet.
Oh, okay. So that's why there's been no update. He hasn't left yet. Right. You know when he's planning on making an expedition?
Inching toward getting his funding. That's the only thing that's been holding him back. So he's still working on that.
Yeah, that would be a long process because that's a very expensive adventure.
Right. How about the other holes, like Mel's hole, John, that just seem to go on forever?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, there do seem to be some. I know that down in Australia, in central Australia, in Alice Springs, where the CIA has a large listening post, a long time ago, that the natives around there, the Aboriginals, used to talk about a large hole that seemed endless. As a matter of fact, part of their meditative rituals that they do, they draw concentric ring circles that get ever darker towards the center, and they sit around in their painted faces and meditate upon it. The interesting thing is around the outside of the circle, they put three-toed footprints walking around it, and they meditate upon this as it was a womb to the center of the earth. Interestingly enough, there are rumors that the actual CIA came down there and covered up the hole and dropped an antenna shaft going straight down into the earth so that they may be able to use extreme low-frequency signals to transmit through the rock to other underground bases around the world. So usually things like that are found are covered up only because there's something in there to hide. And the same individuals that have covered up things from us for the last 1,000 or 2,000 years are still hard at work.
Okay, time for a few more calls. Let's pick up our wild card line. Hi, Danny, you're on the air with us.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, I heard a static sound. Does that mean I'm on?
Yes, sir, you're on.
Yes, this is Danny from Timmins, Ontario.
Okay. Hi, Danny.
Hi, yes, George, I think you know my brother.
What's his name?
His name is Kevin.
Kevin?
From he lives in Iroquois Falls.
He's been on the show before?
Yes, I think he has.
Okay.
John, yes, I'd like to ask about what do you know about the Nephilim and the Anunnaki? And, yeah, George, Kevin, he likes to talk about this JC guy all the time.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, I'll take your answer. My answer off the air. Thank you.
The Anunnaki. Well, I don't know if that's down your neck of the woods, John Rhodes. They're not cryptos.
Well, they're not quite cryptos, but they do seem to have a lot of historical similarities and symbolical similarities to the snake or to the lizard. And there are theories out there that these beings actually are descendants of some sort of a reptilian humanoid species race. And that they did heavily influence ancient mankind long ago in ancient history. Now, the relevance that has in today's history, I'm not sure of, other than that if there was a population group of that kind there a long time ago, their descendants would still be alive, I can only imagine. Maybe perhaps changed and maybe changed location, but they're out there somewhere.
Yes, they are. Next up, east of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hey.
Oh, John. This is Peter Zajac from Dearborn Heights.
Hey, Christian. Peter, how are you?
All right. I've been in communication with the good extraterrestrials or angels and the Holy Spirit, the loving Holy Spirit. And I've been working for 20 years on this problem. I know why the microbiologists have been killed off and why... Yeah, the tree of life, when the extraterrestrials, the bad ones, came down to Earth, what happened to them is that they got corrupted and they lost their longevity and their tree of life. So therefore, they're scared that man will find the answer to the tree of life. So they've been keeping us away from fungus, 100,000 different funguses that came from other planets and bacteria also. They came to this Earth and mixed these different DNA type pathogens. These pathogens... In other words, like bacteria, we found a solution to, but funguses, they're slow growing, so we're embarrassed about it because if you told your wife that you had a problem, you wouldn't have much sex. So therefore, what happens is the doctors don't tell you too much about fungi, but fungi are the problem. I've been working with it now for 20 years with the help of God and the Holy Spirit and the good angels, and that's why you've seen all these years dead animals being cut up. Because they're working, trying to find the solution. The bad ones are now scared that we are, with the computers, we're able to raise our knowledge to the point where we can now compete and control them. but they don't want to be controlled by man. They want to control man. They're controllers. And see, also by mixing the two DNA strains and beings from the other planets, in essence, we've brought the killer instinct of them into us. And that's why we've got these problems on this Earth.
John, these are some incredible theories tonight. We're almost out of time.
Yes, actually, they did discover a number of years ago that fungi is actually more of an animal than it is a plant. So that opens up a whole book of worms.
It sure does. John Rhodes.
What we really need to do is have a film made that kind of encompasses all our interests, because nobody's really helped us along in ufology. They keep shoving the same stuff at us. So it'd be nice to encompass all of these caves and reptoids and everything else around out there.
Absolutely. Hey, John, thanks for being on the program.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, George. I look forward to seeing you again.
Keep updating us if anything more of Lizard Man pops up in South Carolina, all right?
I certainly will, and I look forward to maybe going into a cave with you one day, man.
No, I'm not going into a cave with you, John Rhodes. I'm kidding. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Jason King, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.